What's up, peeps? Howdy. Welcome in. Another episode of the Ebb and Flow podcast coming in hot, y'all. Shoo! So today's episode, all about radical accountability. It appears to me that on the journey of self-development, there is no greater aspect of your inner experience than taking radical accountability for your life, for your thoughts, for your words, for your actions. This creates a deep anchor into reality, into the truth of what is. We can't get over there if we don't acknowledge where we are right here, right now, in this very moment. So this episode is a conversation with my brother Gus. It feels to me as though we really nailed down on the key component of living a successful life in this day and age, whatever that might mean. If there's anything that matters in the conversation of living a successful life, meaning developing meaningful relationships and keeping them, being successful in business, being successful all the way around in your life, it's radical accountability. So we dive deep into that. I think you guys will really enjoy it. I certainly did. Excited to share this one with you. As always, big shout out to our sponsors, Strong Coffee, the Von Rothfelder family. Strong Coffee Company is one of my favorite companies on the planet. Check out their lattes and their instant black coffee, filled with adaptogens, MCT oil, grass-fed collagen, everything you need to start your day strong. Also, Raw Optics. Love, love, love Raw Optics. My new favorite blue light blocking glasses. They're a game changer. You feel like you have a rattled nervous system because of spending too much time on technology looking at a screen? Check these out, man. Head over to rawoptics.com, use code EbbandFlow, get yourself a nice discount on your next purchase there. March 23 and 24, y'all, we've got Heal and Flow coming up. Wimberley, Texas. It's going to be our best one yet. We do yoga, breath work, ice tubs, all the stuff that you know and love. We're doing it right here in Tejas, baby. March 23 and 24. There's still time to register. Finally, if you love this message, you want to go deeper, you want to connect with me, check out my new group mentorship program called Life and Flow. Really excited about it. We're doing live weekly group calls, deep diving on a topic. Then there will be time for you to ask questions and get those questions answered. There's a community chat platform, resources on everything from water filtration to yoga flows and everything in between. And then men, April 14th, we're doing another round of The Wild King, my 6-week men's workshop. Join us. Everything there will be in the show notes. Click the link, check it out. Hope to see y'all there. Lots of love, everybody. Enjoy this episode. Peace.
You have unlocked the eternal link to internal source, the key of imagination, your admission, access to the enlightened dimension. A gateway at the junction of darkness and light, the place at which the chaos of our conditioned frame of mind give way to a life in constant flux, only to be mastered through vigilant discipline. Peaceful times may come, testing times may go. This is the Ebb and Flow.
Hello, everybody. My name is Augustus, and I'm with my brother, Eben. It's not Ed, for anybody that's curious. Even though his Instagram says EDS Britain, I'll let you guys in on something. Those are actually his initials. It's Eben Daniel Smith Britain. His name is not Ed. His name is not Eds. His name is Eben. So I'm here with Eben. This is another collaboration between Reality Now and the Ebb and Flow. Eb recently celebrated a birthday, 36 years young, and I thought we should do a birthday special because I also think there's a lot to talk about in terms of aging. And also I think there's interesting stuff for me that happens when you turn 30 in particular that I want to ask you about. And there's a bunch of stuff. You know, I do want to say that I think that we are potentially blessed in the sense of, you know, growing up with spirituality and have gotten to experience some of these tools earlier. You know, like for instance, you see in some groups that we go to, you know, some men's groups we go to where it's guys that are like 60 and they're just now coming out of the fog going, wow, I need help. That's a really fascinating thing. Maybe it's happening younger nowadays, particularly because of social media where people have information, but maybe not. I don't know. And maybe does it even matter, you know, cause it's like where you get it, you get it. Okay. What are we going to do? You're going to say I'm 60 now, I'm too old, it's too late to grow. That's probably not fair to yourself and fair to the people around you. So, but I think it's, you know, cause sometimes I take for granted, I think not consciously take it for granted, but take for granted the stuff that we've learned, particularly probably through our mother and, you know, the art that we grew up with and the spirituality that we grew up with of the knowledge that we know. And, you know, I've expressed this to you before. Sometimes like listening to spiritual podcasts or talks or whatever, and I hear somebody say something and I go, that's just so obvious what they're saying. But to a lot of people, it's not obvious. So then there's this responsibility, if you have this knowledge, to share this knowledge. I think that's important too. So I know I just threw a lot onto the table, but there's a bunch in there I think we can talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. I think first, turning 30, that was definitely a big landmark for me. A big moment of shifting, stepping through a portal into something new. You've expressed before, turning 30 for you illuminated the reality of life is not, at least this life and this physical body is not eternal.
Right.
And we have a finite amount of days, years in front of us to live out our dreams, to accomplish our goals, to be the person that we feel we're destined to be.
Right. Like I wrote here to that point, I wrote, what happens when you turn 30? I wrote, you have the distinct realization that you're not going to live forever. But that was just my realization. I don't know if a lot of people have that realization.
I think
a lot of people keep going with their dysfunctional status quo.
Well, I think realizing you don't live forever and deciding to work on the things that are no longer serving you are two different things. And I don't think that one leads to the other necessarily. And something I want to talk about, I wanted to take a moment and just breathe because there's a lot on the top of my mind about.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we've talked about this before, but before I get to that, I want to say that 35, I feel like I actually started living. 35 was the year where I recognized and came to know that it's all on me, my life.
Uh-huh.
It's all on me.
Right.
God's not going to open the doorway to the grand vision of what I want to accomplish and who I want to be and how I want to live. It's on me. And that's a really powerful and liberating thing. That was a really powerful and liberating recognition for me to come into, because coupled with the understanding that we're not going to live forever, now you wake up every day and you think to yourself, what am I going to do today? What am I going to create? How am I going to live here? What decisions am I going to make? Are the decisions I'm going to make, the thoughts I'm going to give energy and attention to, the words I'm going to speak, are those in alignment with the trajectory of getting me to live out my dream? Or is it something that's taking me on a detour? Is it sort of a long way around the truth? Mm-hmm. So I would say 30 was big. 35 was the biggest shift of, this life is mine. Life changed from a one-lane road to an infinite ocean, which was a really powerful thing. Because we get into this mode, Gus, where all of us, we all do it. And I was doing it too. To varying extents. We all do this thing where we get into grooves, we get into rhythms, we get into cycles of what we're doing with our day, what we think we are supposed to do, what we feel we're held to, the responsibilities, etc., how we're supposed to show up in the world, all of that stuff. And that dictates the decisions we make every day. However, that is all a decision that we make. You know, how we live our life and the decisions we make, the choices that we make, that's all on us. It's all about us. And this really crystallized for me at Heal and Flow in August at Lake Stevens. And we went through Heal and Flow, and Heal and Flow, as we talked about with Matt, thought it was a really great description of Heal and Flow. For me, it was a complete portal. We come together for these 2 days. We get immersed in this experience that we're having together with these practices and the yoga and the breathing and the connection and the communication, the conversation, the food, the supplements, all of this stuff. And I came out the other side of that and felt completely severed from all of those grooves, all of those threads in my life. And I had this moment of, wow, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? You know? It was really powerful, man. And it started with, we were initially going to come home on Monday. The event ended Sunday afternoon. We were initially going to come home Monday. I recognized that there was way too much to do, clean up, afterwards, aftermath, that leaving Monday was just not a good idea. So we pushed our flight to Tuesday. That's a very liberating thing. Think about how many times you're stressing out about your flight, like catching your flight. You got to get back. You got to get back. What are we getting back to? You know? Tuesday, we get everything packed up, all the stuff, get that done on Monday. Tuesday, we're scheduled to fly out around 2:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday. We leave the house about an hour and a half before we need to be at the airport. About an hour and 15 minutes into the ride, traffic is really bad. And at the point where Lake Stevens is about 30 miles north of Seattle. So at the point we get into the outskirts of downtown Seattle, which is probably no traffic, 12 minutes from the airport. We get there, traffic's really bad. I'm like, dang, what's going on here? I check Waze. And we've got another hour. And immediately I just said, we've got Southwest. It's easy to rebook. I'm just going to rebook this flight for tomorrow. Otherwise, we're going to be in a rush, in a frenzy, running through the airport, trying desperately to make our flight, worried about the bags, all the stress. And I thought to myself, we're going to just skip all that and just rebook for tomorrow. Not supposed to leave today. So that was another really, that was an actionable moment of not just doing the grooved out action mechanism.
Right.
You know, going, I have free will here. I'm a sovereign being who has an opportunity to make decisions that are based on my highest good. Why am I going to put myself in a position to be stressed out, in fear, scattered, all of that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have an opportunity here to do something different. So I did that, changed the flight to Wednesday. We mm-hmm. ended up getting back Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole experience was this really powerful recognition of going, wow, my life is an actual ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the ocean of life. That was the first time I had that feeling, that sense in my body of, wow, life is an ocean. Life is not this one-way highway, dude,
mm-hmm.
where we're just careening to the horizon as fast as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Life is infinite, man. This is an ocean of experience. What are we going to do with it? So for me, that was a really powerful shift that occurred during my, well, I suppose it occurred during my 36th year. That was something else I thought about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We come out of our mother's womb, we drop into planet Earth, and we're zero.
Right.
That first year, when we turn one, we've already lived the 1 year.
Right.
So I've already lived the 36 years. I'm actually going into my 37th year.
Right, right.
Which is an interesting thing that we don't really think about.
Yeah, yeah.
You think like, oh, I'm 36, so now this is my 36th year on the planet, but this is actually the beginning of my 37th year on the planet.
Right.
So big recognitions there for me through the 36 years of life is an ocean. Life is not a one-way highway.
Right.
Going as fast as you can towards the horizon with no stop-offs anywhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Big recognition for me.
Yeah.
So
it's about really honing in on what you want to do.
Yes.
And I've had that experience, and that's a continued process for me of, you know, what do I want to do? What do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just a natural progression of getting older where, I don't know, you start, you know, back to the time thing. You know, when you're younger, and you don't have a kind of conscious awareness of time. The amount of things I did in the past that I didn't want to be doing is massive. I mean, there's so many things I did that I didn't want to be doing. And then you slow down, your consciousness, I don't know if slow down is the correct way to put it, but your consciousness does something where you can see it differently. So
you're slowing down to the present.
Mm-hmm.
You're not flung out in the future or hanging out in the past.
Yeah.
You know?
So how do
you slow down to the center point?
Yeah. How do you reconcile or, you know, you say, you began with saying, this is on me. You know, the actions are on me. How do you navigate trusting God and praying in tandem with that? You know, because you still pray. I know you still pray, and I know you still meditate. And I was talking about this the other day. Praying can be called talking to God. Meditating can be called listening. But in those moments, and maybe you're doing both at the same time as you're navigating what you want to be doing and taking those actions. Because I just want to be clear, because it sounded like you said, it's on me, it's not up to God, yet I know you still pray and meditate. So what does that process look like? You know what I mean?
Well, my prayer has shifted over the last year, big time.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I can illustrate that, articulate that, is an experience I had a few months ago. Excuse me. Where I was in prayer, my nightly prayer in bed, part of what I do, my routine before bed. I get in bed, close my eyes, take some deep breaths. Just get clear. Connect with God. God, Almighty One, Great Spirit, my ancient ancestors, spirit guides, guardian angels. Thank you for the blessing of this magnificent day. Thank you for the blessing of my magnificent body. This vehicle that carries me on my journey through life. I'm so grateful for all the gifts in my life. Go through my day, recognize the things that I accomplished and got done, the steps I took forward, what happened that day. Take inventory of the day, get into prayer. Maybe I'll say the Jesus prayer, the serenity prayer, and then I'll... What I had been doing was, God, show me the way. I had really been in this, I had this mantra going for a while. That was, God, show me the way. And then it evolved into, God, light my path and I will walk it, recognizing the co-creation of my life with God. God, light my path and I'll walk. God, show me the way. God, show me the way. And this one night, I'm lying there and I say, God, show me the way. And this voice comes in and it said, Eb, you show me the way. Mm. And it was the voice of God.
Mm.
Eb, you show me the way. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And the message was, Eb,
wow,
I'm going to give you whatever the fuck you want, man. I'm going to give you what you want, what you call out for, what you give attention to, what you give your energy to, the thoughts that you nourish, the actions you take, the words that you speak. I'm going to give you what you want, bro. What do you want? That was the message.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you show me the way, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's it right there. That was it. You know? And it, God is here for us, man. The universe is here for us. Life is happening for us. It's on us to decide what that is. If you're sitting around on the couch in a victim mode, spending your life nourishing thoughts of woe is me, fuck them, if only, when I have X, then this, that's what God is going to continue to give you. I was going to go, oh, you want to be the victim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
Right.
Sure. Hey, man, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter to me. I'm going to give you what you want because you're my beloved child. That's how God rolls.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want, man? What are we asking for? What are we nurturing? What mm-hmm. thoughts are we nourishing in our mind?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shit, man. There's a lot of shit. That's why discipline, that's why all of these practices are so important. Your mind is an infinite fucking machine.
Mm-hmm.
Infinite. It goes to hell, goes to heaven,
mm-hmm.
and far beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we spending our time on?
Yeah.
What are we spending our time on?
Right.
Because a lot of times we're spending the time praying to God, God, save me. God, save me. Give me $1 million, God. God, give me the car. Give me the girlfriend. Give me the stuff. God, give it to me. Give it to me.
Well, I will say, I'll say that a big one for me has been show me the way. That's been a big prayer in my life, but I love that actionable prayer. So if God says, you show me the way, then what does your prayer become?
So then your prayer becomes feeling in your body the joy of life, the joy of your life, the vision of your life in its highest form, whatever that is. And you feel that. Your prayer becomes a sensation. Osho talks about this. Pray in feelings. Feel it in your body. What do you want your life to be? Feel that in your body. Let your prayer be a sensation. Let it be something that's felt from the top of your head to the tips of your toes, that emanates out of your heart. What does it feel like to be the super successful, unconditionally loved and loving being that has no boundaries, that has no limits? What does that feel like? To feel totally happy and free. What does that feel like?
Right. I love that.
And so, and it's come to balance a little bit. It's come back into balance because it is a give and a take, man. God is showing us the way still. And we have to hold up our end of the bargain.
Right, right.
God's going to say, go here, move here, do this, speak this, create this, do this. Like God is going to show you that. And you've got to hold up your end of the bargain.
Right. With actions.
With actions, with words, with what we're fucking spending our time thinking about.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I allowing myself to think about? You know, there's that great line. Worrying is praying for things you don't want.
Right, right.
It's true. It's true. You're not going to solve your problems by worrying about it.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's the mind, the universe works in positive. It doesn't work in the negative. It doesn't understand the negative. It only understands creation.
Evolution.
Yeah, evolution. Positivity, manifestation.
Yeah.
It starts as a thought form and then it materializes in the physical realm.
Right.
Like that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not going to solve any problem by worrying about it. Going, fuck, I have no money. I have no money. Fuck.
Right.
It's like, okay, what do I want?
Yeah.
I want financial stability and financial prosperity.
Yeah.
I want a solid financial foundation. And when you start praying for those things, this is where God shows you the way.
Yeah.
Because then God goes, hey, like something comes across your path. A workshop on how to invest or how to start a business or some little thing. And you're like, oh, well, that's not the $1 million, but I see what you're saying, God. Right. I need to learn. I need to study.
Right.
This is part of me creating financial stability and financial prosperity in my life.
Right.
You know? Go start an LLC. Open up a bank account for your business. This is God showing you the way.
Right. It's funny how if we're believing in God, which we do, God doesn't, you don't go, okay, I'm going to pray now. God, give me $1 million. And then I open the door and there's $1 million there. It's funny how it's like, but you know, you walk up the street and then you see the sign for the workshop. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. But I think the behavior is really important. I gotta say his name because it's where I saw him say it. I mean, I feel like anybody could have said it, but I saw something with Joe Dispenza. I don't even really remember what he said now, but it was just about changing your behavior. Like you gotta change. At some point, you have to change your behavior.
Yeah.
Like if you want something to change, you have to change your behavior.
Yes.
You know, that's why that chapter in the big book, the 12-step big book, is into action. It's not into thinking.
Right.
That's super important.
Yeah.
That's a super important vocabulary there.
Yeah.
It's not into thinking. It's not into conversing. It's not into figuring it out.
Right.
It's into action.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take the actions, nothing is going to happen. If you don't change the behavior and create a new discipline, nothing is going to happen.
Exactly.
And that can start small, as it always does.
Yeah.
As it seems to, similar to asking God to help me, show me the way to get financial stability. God's not just going to drop $1 million in your bank account. Maybe if that's what God wants to do, I guess God will do that. But it seems to start at a more incremental behavioral change pace.
Yes.
So that's been big for me, changing the behavior.
Yeah.
And then
a big one.
And then discipline. I think it's a Jocko Willink thing about discipline equals freedom. I think that's very true.
Yeah.
I think there's something about being disciplined that helps you see the way.
Yes.
It helps you see clearly.
Yeah.
And what do we mean when we say discipline? I mean, I think we're really talking about like those disciplines of positivity, whether it be working out, eating a certain way, opening up in relationships, those sorts of disciplines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like you said, nature is all about evolving. Jeff Kober, who's a meditation teacher here in LA, talks a lot about that. Nature is all about evolution. It's always about evolving. Mm. And you notice that how weird and uncomfortable you get when you're in the muck, when you're in the mire. Because I think nature is going, what are we doing here? Why are we, let's change this energy up. And it's interesting how you kind of always have to change the energy. Like you always have to keep sort of searching. Like we were talking about yesterday about working on stress relief tactics. It's this process of evolution.
Yeah.
You're constantly getting information.
Yeah.
And then hopefully if you're aware to it, which is the first part of the process of the awareness, acceptance, action pyramid, you just get aware of it and then you can start moving forward.
Yeah.
But it's a process.
That goes on for infinity.
Yeah. And talk to me about that in terms of the getting older and wiser thing we began with, particularly, and this may help people, I'm sure it'll help me, you know, in terms of stress relief. You know, life starts, you start seeing things, it's interesting how you start seeing things more clearly. So you have to be more clear with your tools also, right? The old tools that you could maybe use when you were young to get by have fallen apart in your hands like sand. For instance, my main stress relieving tool prior to awakening up to a new way of being was smoking marijuana, which was just, first of all, perpetuating stress and creating more stress and also not allowing me to be aware of the stress. So I couldn't even get to step one.
Mm.
I couldn't even really be aware of it. I wasn't even allowing that process to begin. Mm. Granted, that's just where I was at the time. So that was the best I could do. But now I'm really looking at it going, okay, what do I need to do with this stress? Is it prayer? Is it meditation? Is it exercise? Is it breathing? What action do I need to take if I'm living in a solution-based paradigm in order to, what's that word, remediate this, or in order to lessen this thing that clearly I don't want to continue perpetuating?
Mm-hmm.
So what's your process been with stress relief and getting back to homeostasis when things are big around you? You know, I know you have a child, you're building your career, you're doing teacher trainings, you know, you're traveling around places. What's your process been with that? Because I imagine when you first started, you weren't using the same tools you're using now. Or maybe you were, but you're using those tools differently.
Well, this is where the discipline comes in. The fruits of discipline really reveal themselves is over time. And for me, my disciplines are meditation, prayer, exercise, eating clean. That keeps my mind and my body in a solid foundation so that when the stressors come in, which life is constantly revealing, bringing into contact with you, you're more able to not be knocked off balance or be able to rebound faster into homeostasis, into peace, into calm. The chatter, the mind chatter, the mind noise, the getting swept up in the drama of a situation is less and less. The hold on it, on you is less and less. But honestly, this is something that's just, that's becoming more and more clear to me. And I still don't know how. I don't really know what it is, dude. Because people can meditate, people can do yoga, people can take the mushrooms and do the ayahuasca. They can do all of this stuff. They can even, in every moment, have all the right things to say, and yet they can still be a complete fucking narcissist who wreaks havoc on their life. Uh-huh. And their relationships, you know. And a massive Al-Anon set the foundation for me, dude. I had a massive spiritual awakening in Al-Anon that set the stage for everything else. It really honestly, none of the other stuff would matter if I hadn't gone to Al-Anon.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Yeah. Like the ayahuasca, the therapy, none of this would be possible if I hadn't done Al-Anon. If I hadn't been completely brought to my knees in my life and gone with you to that first Al-Anon meeting, none of this would be what it is. And I think it has to do with seeing yourself really clearly.
Yeah.
Beyond anything, I think.
Right.
Because a lot of things we're going to get, we can get a lot of things from these alternative methods. From the plant medicine, from the yoga, we can get a lot of information. We can get a lot of tools of how to navigate life. What we don't really get, and perhaps it has to do with the group setting or the 12-step process itself, which turns the entire thing inward, where
right.
you are forced to take accountability for who you are, your actions and your words, how you conduct yourself, how you behave in your life.
Yeah.
It's the only place that you get that.
Yeah.
And when you don't get that and you're walking around and you've got some tools, the ego uses these things to pretend like you know best. Like you're better than other people. Like other people are the problem. You stay in that. I'm witnessing it more and more. I'm like, man, there's a lot of really sick people out there.
Uh-huh.
And really sick people who are claiming to be experts and masters of things.
Right.
No, truly, it blows my mind, actually, the prevalence of this.
Right.
And I see it more and more. And there are people who, there's a lot of people who put a lot of trust and faith into these people who have no actual spiritual foundation,
right,
which is about seeing yourself crystal clear.
Right.
And knowing what the ego looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Knowing when you're living in delusion.
Right.
And so, I don't know if I'm really answering your question, but I feel really blessed to have laid that foundation first before any of this other stuff came into my life.
Mm-hmm.
That I laid this foundation of deep spiritual ground,
mm-hmm,
through 12-step program, Al-Anon.
Yeah.
Which forced me to take radical accountability for myself.
Yeah.
And my side of the street.
Right.
Keeping my side of the street clean.
Yeah.
You know? And until you've done that, man, it's just really hazy.
Yeah.
It's really fucking hazy.
Yeah.
Especially when you're claiming to be a teacher or a speaker or a mentor or doing anything where you're in this perceived hierarchical position over people. It gets really dangerous, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for me, that deep spiritual ground of radical accountability,
mm-hmm,
of radical clarity, of seeing myself and knowing deeply what the ego looks like,
mm-hmm,
is a massive anchor for being able to develop any of these other spiritual ideals in myself.
Mm-hmm.
The compassion, the patience,
right,
the peace, the ability to not react, not jump into some action that's, yeah, conceived out of needing to fix or fear or,
right,
desperation that it's going to be wrong if it's not like this.
Yeah.
So that radical accountability, radical clarity of self,
uh-huh,
first and foremost. And then my meditation practice, man. I mean, my meditation practice for the last 6 or 7 years, every single day, it's the most important discipline in my life. And it's given me, no bullshit, this incredible reservoir of space between myself and what's happening in my life.
Mm.
And it just gives me this opportunity to get out of, I got to do this and I got to do that. And I'm out here like trying to hold on and trying to steer the bus from fucking a million miles away.
Yeah.
And instead, I get this opportunity to just come back to what's the next indicated action.
Yeah.
Control what I can control one day at a time. What's right here in front of me? Okay, man, this is a big thing that's happening in my life. What can I do today to take one step forward in the direction of accomplishing that goal? Let me live in that.
Right.
And that creates a world of peace around me. And it really, and the more and more you do that, and you trust in your practice, you trust in God, you have faith, you live in faith. That's what living in faith is really about, man. It's like you're anchored into something so fucking solid inside. No matter what comes, you're always just going to anchor down into, I know. I know what's true. I know what's good for me. I know what's right.
Yeah. Right.
And when you say that, again, if you don't have that deep spiritual foundation, which is essentially made up of radical accountability, that's the only thing that really keeps coming up for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that speaks to it, that illustrates this thing that is the difference maker. This is the difference maker, dude.
Right.
Radical accountability, which provides you with radical clarity of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, so then I would say to, well, that's really powerful, and I've had that very, very similar experience, and I think it's really interesting what you say about recognizing the ego, which I can feel, and this is all practiced in relationships too. The relationship you have with yourself, and then the relationships you're in the world, because those are the things that are affecting us. People, places, and things.
Yes.
People, places, and things, particularly people. But we practice these things in relationships.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's interesting. We've talked about this so many times on podcasts about this, the power of the 12-step work. And I wonder if we should come up with some alternate. And to me, the main thing here is the inventory. Because the inventory is where you take that radical accountability.
Yeah.
Yes, you do the amends aspect of the 12 steps as well. But the inventory is where you do what we say, trust God, clean house.
Yeah.
Where you get to get closer to yourself.
Uh-huh.
Which to me, on the topic of stress relieving tactics and tools, if you don't know yourself, how the heck are you supposed to know what to do with yourself?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like that thing, the mind that houses the problem can't conceive of the solution.
Uh-huh.
So when you clean house, you start and get closer to yourself, as you say, you start to be able to conceive of the solution and get out of your ego and get out of those narcissistic tendencies. I mean, I see it so much in relationships for me. Particularly romantic relationships, you know, like when I have a girlfriend, where it's like, wow, I'm a fucking nut job. I'm a fucking nut job. I've got shit to work on. And thank God now I can go, wow, I've got shit to work on, as opposed to being swept away by the shit.
Well, here's...
and just being a narcissist. As a, you know, I'm not perfect. I fall in a little bit sometimes, but at least now I have some space where I can go, okay, I got to work on this. And acknowledge that I have to work on it.
Well, that, this is bringing up, this is a, another vital component to this whole thing, because how do we end up in those rooms? We end up in those rooms. Well, how do we end up in those rooms? More importantly, how do we end up in those rooms and commit to what's going on in those rooms is only when you've hit rock bottom and you've totally surrendered. You are on your fucking knees and you've totally surrendered to God. My way is going to kill me. My way is going to kill me. And I completely surrender my whole life over to you, God. Right? A lot of people don't get there because it's not bad enough. Or so they're just not ready to surrender. You don't get to step one. If you never get to step one, and then you circumvent it all, and you learn the tools, like, you know, spiritual guru tools.
Right.
Then you're still in your ego, bro. You never had your persona shattered.
Yeah.
which is what is a necessity. It's a necessary part of taking radical accountability. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
What's step one? Came to believe.
No, step is no. We admitted we were powerless.
We admitted we were powerless.
That our lives had become unmanageable. Yeah.
You have to get there, bro.
Yeah.
Some people don't go long. They don't take it that deep.
Yeah.
Why? Because they've got some addiction, undoubtedly, that masks it all, that blankets the stuff. It yeah. blankets the problems.
Yeah.
Whether it's alcohol or sex or money. Money's a big one, dude.
Yeah.
Money's a big blanket that people throw over stuff and go, I'm all good, man. Right. I'm all good.
Right.
You know? This isn't about me having a problem.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Ah, they're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
You know? They fucked me. I got money. I can pay bills.
Yeah.
Easy. Done. No worries.
Yeah.
You have to get to that place, man, where you recognize you're powerless. Your life, the way you've been living it, totally unmanageable. Step one. You can't take accountability for who you are and how you're being until that. Because otherwise, you're just like, it's just a scapegoat for the ego. Mm-hmm. It's all just like, it's cool, man. I'm not that bad.
Right.
No, I can pay the bills. I'm not, you know. So everything is this scapegoat circumnavigation of the truth that you validate yourself through this stuff. Like, you know, oh, in a past life, I was a king who, you know, was stabbed in the back, or, you know, there's all sorts of insane ways that you can validate your sickness.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. Uh-huh.
Do you think this is a requisite for everybody or for people that are particularly trying to take seats of power?
I think it's for everybody. This is a prerequisite for anyone who is interested in getting clean. You have to have your it's a humbling, dude.
Yeah.
It's the humbling.
Yeah.
It's the humbling.
Yeah.
It's the getting your ass kicked to such an extent that you are on your knees begging for mercy. Mm-hmm. And the mercy comes when you surrender to God and say, God, I am powerless over this sickness, mm-hmm. this disease.
Yeah.
Alcoholism or otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking with Kat a couple days ago, and we were talking about this person who we've come to recognize as the only real word to describe them is narcissist. Uh-huh. And that word gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're a narcissist.
Yeah, of course.
You know, yeah. It's like a super trendy, spiritual. Like,
yeah, we've talked about that.
You know, but someone who's truly a narcissist, you might as well be a blackout drunk.
Right.
You might as well be an alcoholic. It's uh-huh. synonymous. It's the same right. thing, just a different substance is yeah. being used.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's the same. It's the equator, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I think narcissist is a more like general term.
But what were you finding about this person?
They're completely unwilling, unable to look at their side of the street.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning. There's only one measurement. There's only one measurement that matters in this world. Mm-hmm. The only measurement that actually matters in this world is how are you showing up in your relationships? Mm-hmm. How are you showing up in your relationships? If you've done all the therapy, all the ayahuasca on the fucking planet. It doesn't matter if you're still an asshole.
Right.
If you're still pointing fingers at people, mm-hmm. if you're still in blame, if you're still saying that they're a scumbag and they did this to me and my life is about, like, you're, it doesn't matter. The only measurement that fucking matters in this life is how do you show up in your relationships? And as men, if we are not, dude, you, a true man, the test of a true man is how much can you fucking take, bro?
Mm.
Can you be the mountain? If you're the mountain, there's cities, empires exist on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're unshakable.
Mm.
You're uncollapsing.
Mm.
There's no change. You weather it all. And that comes down to how fucking anchored into you are you?
Mm-hmm.
Into yourself, into your center, into your fucking, into God,
mm-hmm.
into your truth. Because we all experience pressure, man. And at some point, the pressure reveals who we are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you haven't taken radical accountability with yourself, of yourself, of who you are, how you function, how you exist, which entails reconciling all of your darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So reconciling all the shit inside that you think is too ugly and too horrible to be allowed in society, until you've reconciled all of that shit, it's only a matter of time before the pressure and the stress of life collapses you down into that and you just completely implode, deconstruct.
Mm-hmm.
You lash out at people, you burn bridges, you end relationships, you fuck things up, you sabotage your life. And so I think it's a prerequisite for all of us, man.
Right.
If we want to get to where we dream of going, and once again, I've said this before, God doesn't give a fuck, man. God doesn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
There's trillions of realities. There's trillions, infinite life forms.
Mm-hmm.
There's infinite expressions of consciousness throughout this incredible thing that is the universe, God.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't care if we do it or not. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's on us. Like, do we care?
Mm-hmm.
Do we care? You know? There's mm-hmm. still a lot of... There's atrocities happening on the planet
mm-hmm.
that are all based on illusions. Mm-hmm. It's based on egoic beliefs that have nothing to do with anything real. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for us to be the divine beings that we have the potential to be, I think that it has to start with radical accountability for self.
Mm.
That's the only foundation that's unshakable. Because otherwise, you're still going out there. You're dependent on them to do this so that you can feel okay. And you're dependent on that to happen so that your life can be good. And so that you can have peace, and you're dependent on all this shit outside of you that has nothing, you have no control over and has nothing to do with your actual well-being. You've just made it about, you've made your well-being about that stuff. And so you'll never have actual peace. You'll never experience actual love. You'll never experience actual stability.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's why all the, you know, it's so fun. It's like, I have a hard time. I've had a hard time posting on social media because I'm just like, how many more cliches do we have to share?
Well, yeah.
You know, it's just like, dude, it's an inside job, man.
Yeah.
I'm tired of posting about, you know, eating right and working out.
Yeah.
You should be doing that. This should be nature. This should be your, this not even second nature. This should be your natural way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. That was amazing. I think we just stop.
That's it?
Yeah, I think we just drop it there. I think that's enough.
We tapped in.
Bro. Why say more cliches?
We tapped into the God vein.
Yeah.
But it's true, the God man. Vein. I think...
Well, that is the essence of it.
So to sum this thing up...
Yeah.
In my 36 years...
Yeah. Please do.
The diamond of life, the absolute, the vital, the most vital ideal of any individual's life experience is to take radical accountability for yourself. Take radical accountability for yourself. Get into radical clarity of who you are and how you exist. Clean your side of the street. Clean house.
Mm-hmm.
Trust God.
Mm.
And then everything can come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything can come out of that.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't matter if you build an empire of gold on top of a fucking landfill of sand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no foundation. There's nothing solid. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a mask. It's a persona.
Yeah.
It's an illusion. Yeah. If you're not anchored in a rock solid foundation of radical clarity, and which springs out of accountability, or those two worked hand in hand, they work in tandem, clarity and accountability, radically in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else really matters, because you'll, under pressure, you'll reveal yourself.
Mm.
Under pressure, you'll reveal the truth of your being, which most likely won't be anything interesting, good, productive, etc.
Mm. Yeah.
Dope, bro.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man.
Special edition we got.
Yeah, bro.
Well, thanks, everybody. This is Reality Now and the Ebb and Flow. We're also here with Noah. Thank you for everything you do, Noah.
I want to shout out one thing that Noah said.
Please do.
I've been praying on this big time.
Mm-hmm.
Noah shared this line from the Bible. I don't know the exact. I always paraphrase it. I lack nothing, for God is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, for God is with me.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, for God is with me. I love
that. That's a really powerful, that's been a really powerful mantra, and that speaks to this co-creation of your life.
Yeah.
Asking God, show me the way, and God saying, hey, bro, you show me the way. We're walking together. We are one here, you know?
Right.
And that ideal, I lack nothing, for God is with me, that'll give you the courage. Because it takes a lot of courage, man.
It takes a lot of courage. It does. It does.
To follow God, to follow your own divine will, it takes a lot of fucking courage, man. And recognize God is with you every step of the way.
Right. As a friend said to me once, this is the only game in town, as far as he's concerned. Working self-realization.
Uh-huh.
This is the only game in town.
Yeah.
Really, you can play the other bullshit. But this is the only game in town.
Yeah.
This is the real thing.
Yeah. And beware, man. Beware. There's a lot of traps where you think, I'm in that game. But really, you're just in another ego trip about being the guru or being the master or being better than everybody else. You've got it all figured out, and everybody else is a fucking, you know, zombie or whatever the fuck your idea is.
Yeah.
Because it all starts, man. Radical clarity, radical accountability. This is the only game in town, and it starts there.
Love it. Phew. Radical clarity, radical accountability. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
So check out the Ebb and Flow on wherever you get your podcasts. My newsletter, Reality Now, is on Substack, realitynow.substack.com. You can find links to that on Instagram, of course. Ebb and I also have a store called Higher Power Workshop, where we put some merchandise out that's fun. We have books. Both of us have books that you can find on Amazon. Ebb's got the Ebb and Flow book. I've got How to Kill a White Man and other essays. Check those out. And this has been another awesome Reality Now Ebb and Flow collaboration. We're blessed to have you. And it's a blessing to have this, you know, these different platforms to just share. And because I, in terms of this clarity, we can't do it alone. We do this in relationships with each other. So it's great to have these relationships with you all. Thank you so much for joining us today. Much love. Namaste.
Love y'all.